Hello everyone and welcome to the live stream. My name is Vimo, this is live and it happens every Wednesday and Saturday at 8 p.m. It didn't happen last Wednesday or last Saturday because I was away and traveling. On Wednesday, I had come back, but I was not feeling well. In fact, I'm not even back to full strength yet. But since it's been a couple of slots gone by without any action, I figured we'll do a live stream today. Today is Saturday, a day on which we take callers. So there's a link pinned to the top of the chat, which you can click and you can join me on screen and we can talk about an issue. Unfortunately, I have not had much opportunity to, you know, read about whatever is going on in the news. So I would request that A, you will forgive me if today's stream ends in exactly 1 hour because I don't have energy to carry it forward any further. And B, if we stick to atheism related topics. So if you have any questions, I know that the last couple of weeks I have literally, like, you know, that there are people on Instagram, etc., who send debate challenges and all. I have told, come and talk to me on my live stream to almost more than 10 people. So let's see how many people turn up and we'll talk. Before we proceed, I'll just explain. Yes, I have shaved my head. The reason behind it is that, it's very hot. And if I keep the air conditioner on for any length of time, I get a headache and then it becomes a cold. And some time ago, it also became a fever. So I'm trying to avoid that. So me shaving my head has only to do with the fact that it's very hot and I can't handle it. So I shaved my head. I have a wig, which if you guys like, I'll put on towards the end of the episode and I'll show you. It's one of those party things. And I posted a picture on my Instagram of me wearing it. Somebody was asking, is Twitch monetized? Yes, Twitch is monetized. You can become a subscriber on Twitch. However, I recommend that if you really want to support the channel, the best way to do it is to join the channel on YouTube. Come to youtube.com/vimolive and click the join button and become a member. Or you can support it by sending money directly to vimo@upi.vimoh@upi. If you don't know what UPI is, don't worry about it. Just go to my website, www.vimo.in, and click the support button there to make a one-time contribution. There is also a Patreon at patreon.com/vimo, and you can become a monthly or an annual member there to support the channel. This channel is about contemporary India. It tends to be focused a lot on atheism and religion related matters, but it's also about contemporary politics and news items, etc. So feel free. I see that a bunch of people have already joined on the live stream. In the queue. Let me just take a look at some comments before I get to them. Chocolate Broccoli says, after watching you, I realized my whole life was just BJP propaganda. I am thankful to you. Now I realize I don't need to hate anyone. I don't need to fear anyone. I used to believe that I have to be fearful of God. He might punish me in my next life. I don't need to be fearful of him anymore. Yeah. Thank you. I mean, that means a lot. Someone saying that means a lot. I have to live life to the fullest because there is no other life. Thanks again. Yeah, that's the most beautiful part of this. You are free from the number of worries that are heaped on top of your head by your religion. And now you're free to be a good person. You are free from all the obligations to hate and dislike certain lifestyles. You can just live your life to the best of your ability without hurting anyone. Right. So there's a comment by Imran Siddiqui. He says, hey Vimo, please suggest what should I do as I don't feel the will to live or to do anything because what the ruling party is saying on a daily basis, I feel there is no point of achieving anything in this new India. Imran, first of all, I understand completely where you're coming from and it is not for me, someone who is not facing this hate, someone who's from a Savarna Hindu background, so-called, to lecture you about how you should be positive and everything. But the advice I would give is look at the state of affairs a year ago or 2 years ago, where this brazenness was even more brazen. Right now, whatever brazenness you're seeing in them is a mark of desperation. They're desperately trying to change the narrative from caste matters, from unemployment, from all the issues that are up in the country right now to religion and anti-Muslim bigotry. So this is desperation. तुम किसी को धक्का मार मार के कोने पे ले गए हो ना, वो सबसे ज्यादा जोर से हाथ घुमाएगा. ये वही है. ये लोग को पता चल गया कि आने वाला चुनाव इनके हिसाब से नहीं जाने वाला. ये लोग desperately narrative change करने की कोशिश कर रहे हैं. पार्लियामेंट में इस प्रकार की घटिया भाषा का प्रयोग भाजपा के मेंबर के अलावा कोई नहीं कर सकता था। ये एक घटिया विचारधारा है, एक घटिया विचारधारा को मानने वाले लोग हैं, इनके मुंह से और कोई चीज की उम्मीद नहीं की जा सकती। एक ही चीज की जा सकती है, इन लोगों को धक्के मार के पावर कॉरिडोर से बाहर करना, जो कि आने वाले चुनाव में मुझे लगता है होने वाला है। यू डोंट नीड टू फील बैड अबाउट देम, दे शुड बी द वंस हु फील बैड अबाउट दिस, यू डोंट हैव टू। आई अंडरस्टैंड दैट यू डू एंड दैट इज अंडरस्टैंडेबल, बट हैव होप माई फ्रेंड, दिस विल गो अवे। Rudra says, what are your opinions about Sanatan Samiksha? I have never seen the channel. The only times I have heard the channel is when people come in my comments and say, why don't you go talk to Sanatan Samiksha? And my response is, kyun, tumse na ho payega? Yahan pe to wo nahi hai. Tum ho. Aao mujhse baat kar lo. Kisne roka hai tumse? The same thing happens with some Muslim apologists also. They all carry around this list of so-called debaters from their religion. And every time you make a comment or make a video, they will leave. Agar himmat hai to jaake usse debate karna. And I'm like, I am used to people coming and saying, debate me if you dare. But it takes a special kind of coward to say, if you dare, go debate someone else. That's like another level of stupid. So what I do is I tell them, if they come, I'll be happy to talk to them. My live stream har Wednesday, har Saturday karta hun. Jisko aana hai, aajao bhai, baat kar lo mujhse. Main debate chara ki, debate jaise words ka istemal karke tumko goad bhi nahi kar raha. I genuinely want to understand why you think you're right about this nonsense. So if Sanatan Samiksha wants to come, they can come. If all those Muslim apologists want to come, they can come. But if you are here and if you want me to go debate someone else, I will have to say a few. You come talk to me. You're here, I'm here, let's talk. What's the harm? Surya says, have you seen the Sciences Dope podcast with Arif Hussain? I think you will probably disagree with Arif's statements on hijab and those movies. I think I will, but I have not seen it completely. In fact, Sciences Dope sent me a link, and because I have been engaged with mostly things that are have to do with my health, I have not really watched it. I will finish it and then I'll tell you guys what I think. So before I read any more comments, let me just hold on. Sumana says, you look like a Brahmin, which is suitable, no? I come from a so-called Savarna background. I think I should not hide it. Joy Boy says, wow, Vimo turned into Lex Luthor. People, hide your kryptonite. Yes, please hide your kryptonite. Hold on, let me. Raj Vaibhav Tripathi says, I would like to join the stream. Can I? Sure, Raj, you can join. There's a link pinned to the top. You can join. Hold on. So, first I'll take Sandarsh. Hi, Sandarsh. You're mute. You're on mute.
Yeah, hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go on.
So how are you, Vimo? How was your travel?
While I'm talking to Sandarsh, everyone who's here, please go to the private chat section and write a couple of lines about what you want to talk about so that we can have I can have a better understanding of who to take first and stuff. I see Saurabh. Saurabh is someone I had invited. So after Sandarsh, I will take Saurabh. Huh. Go on, Sandarsh.
Awesome, yeah. How are you? How was your travels, Vimo? How was your week?
Travel was terrible, man. I went to I went to a family member's place in another town. Uh-huh. I was there for 4 days, and for 3 of those days I was bedridden. So it was terrible. I did get okay. That Naruto figure that you guys see behind.
Oh
so,
yeah, can see
that's
that.
Nice.
Yeah, Vimo. So good to see you again. Good to see you all healthy. And
thanks, man.
So, yeah, last time I missed the chance, there was Meghnad with you and Sciences Group as well. I missed the chance to speak. I also wanted to know what Meghnad would say about what I'd like to discuss. But anyway, I'll just go ahead and speak about that.
Okay.
So what I wanted to speak about is childhood indoctrination, and that coming from education institutes and not from parents. Right. So just an anecdote, a small anecdote of my personal experience. From a school that I did do my schooling, early schooling, we used to have this Bhagavad Gita chanting or recitation competition. And I was actively involved because I was very close with my Hindi educator, Hindi teacher, and I was quite pushed up by them to take this up. And it was a good exercise for me. My dad encouraged me, not for it being Bhagavad Gita, but he has a strange or probably a rather good thing, good take on this, saying, you will improvise your pronunciations. You won't face a difficult word in your life. If you come across words and you, when you come across difficult words in your life, you won't face the difficulty of pronouncing it. You don't
Do you think that's true? To an extent, yes, I think. But that's only Sanskrit, pronunciations of Sanskrit words, right?
True. I mean,
and how often do we use Sanskrit in our normal life?
Not Sanskrit. Looking at a word which looks difficult, it gives a perception that, yeah, it's a very difficult word. Must be hard for me to perceive it. Let me just skip it. That would usually be the tendency, but it is not the case for me. Right?
Okay.
I'm like, okay, let me try. Let me attempt and see how to pronounce and I'd learn. So that, I suppose, is what my dad also wanted me to encourage. I'm just saying it's not factual.
I personally think that any book will do it. I think fairly wide. If you read widely enough, listen to enough people speaking words, it'll happen.
True. That is right. Hmm. Also, my dad is a literature enthusiast. He also encouraged me to do that.
From that perspective, I understand.
Yeah, that is true. That is done. And because I was, my upbringing was good enough to question everything, I did not fall into the trap of, even if my education institute wanted me to get into the trap, I did not. But this is not the case for most other students, right? Okay. So if my dad had not built in the rationality in me, or if my upbringing was not in that way, highly likely that I would be indoctrinated to my education institute promoting Bhagavad Gita, right? So glad I escaped, but that could have been the case. And in this case, how can right parenting address this issue? How can they get me out of that loop if I am in the trap?
I think your dad did something great, which is that your dad took the Gita, its education in your institution, and turned it into a secular exercise, right? In your mind, at least. You were young. If your dad had not told that to you, you would have said, I'm in a religious class, and clearly religion is supposed to be taken seriously. So all the things that I'm learning about the Gita in this class, I should probably take literally. So your dad, in one fell swoop, took care of that problem, regardless of whether he wanted to do so or not. And I think that's a good thing for parents to do to children who might be facing certain religious texts in school or college. Like if you go to a religious place and you learn about the Bhagavad Gita or the Quran or the Bible, they might tell you that this is the one true reality. But the thing about learning religious texts is that I always say that children should be taught about religious texts, but they should not be given, they should not be told that there is something unique about them. These religious texts should be treated like just another book. And if a child is exposed to 5 religious texts, including the view that none of these religious texts are true, then the child will grow up into a mature individual who understands that he lives in a society where many kinds of people exist. People believe many, many things. And therefore, there is no reason to think of any religious view of the of the world to be absolutely true. So yeah, parents and schools both play an equally important role, at least in this respect. Ideally, even if a parent does not do this, if a parent is completely disconnected, even when schools are teaching it, they should clarify, yeah, this is a religious book, but this is one religious book among many, many other religious books. So take it with a pinch of salt.
True, that's true. Thanks for that. Another interesting thing my dad did was, he used to tell me...
Sandar, this is the last point. Huh? I have to move on. I have to get to a lot of people today.
Of course. The last point. He used to tell me the stories of mythology like a bedtime story to me. And I completely had a picture that these are bedtime stories only. These are only bedtime stories, nothing beyond that. And when I was exposed to movies in my regional language around those mythological stories, I knew that, these stories I have heard are made into movies. So in a nice way, it turned out unknowingly, unintentionally, it turned out well for me. Just that. Thought of putting this across, and thank you so much for this.
I think approaching religious storytelling with a reasonably secular point of view, as far as, we live in a multicultural society. These are just stories like all those other stories. Is a great way to do religious teachings. Perfect. But that, yeah, of course, is an atheist point of view. But thank you, Sandarsh. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much. And I liked Adipurush, by the way.
I also liked it.
Loved it.
Surprisingly, yeah. I also liked it. It's one of those films that even today, like if it's raining outside and I have a bowl of Maggie with me, I'll totally play it and I'll watch it.
Amazing.
Guilty pleasure movie.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Sure. Thanks, man. Thank you so
bye-bye.
Much.
Bye. Bye. Yeah. That was Sandarsh. And the next caller is Saurabh. Wait. Hi, Saurabh. You're on mute.
Yeah. Hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go on.
Perfect. So let me give you my background. I grew up in a village, a small village called Satara in Maharashtra. And later on,
I think you're not in Satara right now, right?
No, I'm in Denmark right now. Actually, I'm attending a hackathon and I got some time because we scheduled it. Right? So regarding my background, I'm an atheist and have been since last 17 years, I would say, because I'm 32 right now. And since 15, I've been reading a lot of science. I'm sorry if you're hearing music, but I would be loud.
I'm not really. So the software we are using, it cancels out a lot of background noise.
Perfect. So I'm really into science, to be honest. And I've been reading books by Professor Hawking or Dr. Tyson or even good atheists like Sam Harris, Christopher Hitchens, Richard Dawkins. And I do get their criticism of religion. And I agree with them on a lot of points. However, when it comes to consciousness, we definitely need to dig more deep into what it is, because it's pretty vague and it's not really scientifically described so far. But there are definitely more efforts going on, especially at MIT nowadays. I just wanted to present to you the way we do science, right? So I'll give you analogies in three ways, three steps. Let's say one simple, one a little bit more complex, and one the most complex.
Saurabh, before you proceed, let me just ask you this one thing. You the frame of this conversation is atheism, right? So what does consciousness have to do with religion or God or atheism?
Yeah, I can explain. So traditional Judeo-Christian view of God is something, some like a person or some entity, you know.
Okay.
And that's really not the case with Eastern religious, let's not say religious, but idea of God. So.
Okay.
We have theory of panpsychism, which is kind of not accepted by science, really. But I want to present to you the comparison. So the way we do science and the way we accept certain ideas in science, but we do not accept the similar similar ideas by same logic when it comes to consciousness. So first, a simple explanation would be ocean and water, ocean and ocean waves, right? So ocean is made of water, and we have a phenomenon called waves on the surface of ocean, okay? So wherever we have water, there's only possibility of having waves where there is water, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so right now, I don't see waves here, water waves, because there's no water. So water is a substrate upon which there are waves, a phenomenon called waves, right? So this similar concept is used in the concept of electromagnetism. So I'm an electrical engineer, by the way, so I understand fields and I use them with mathematics, rigorous mathematics. So what I want to say, see, there is a concept called electromagnetic fields, which is a classical concept, or not a quantum concept, but a classical field theory. And I'll ask you a question. So we have a substrate called electromagnetic field. So what happens when the field vibrates?
So here's the thing. You are using waves and water as an analogy, right? That's not an explanation.
I'll go forward. I'm just complexifying.
And also, like, you know, waves and water are things that can be measured. So yeah. can the fields that you're talking about. So unless there is some kind of, they can't be.
I'll tell you my point is
I'm okay with analogies. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with saying ki something could be like this, but that's not to say something is like that. And in order for that to happen, we will need more evidence.
No, okay, yeah, I'll get there because I want to frame the way.
Okay,
we,
go on.
Yeah, so when the field vibrates, what we have is waves, which is also electromagnetic waves, right? So electromagnetic waves, example of them is all the entire electromagnetic spectrum, whether it be X-rays or visible light or radio waves or gamma rays. So it's nothing but vibration of electromagnetic field.
Okay.
But in order to have gamma rays or photons or radio waves, you have to have the field in order for it to vibrate. Same with the ocean, you need to have water in order to have waves. Similar with light, you have to have field in order for it to manifest as a photon or gamma rays. So you need this substrate, right? For you to detect a photon, for example. So to complexify the matter, when they detect a new particle, for example, say they were trying to, like 10 years ago, they're trying to detect Higgs boson, this particle. Now, that is according to complex theory of reality, which is quantum field theory. And we are talk about field, electromagnetic field, but the concept is similar. So in order to basically have a particle, you need a field which vibrates similar to electromagnetic field. So they are they just extended this classical field idea to quantum field. So basically the scientific view is the electromagnetic field exists, which is all pervading, and it vibrates at various locations and it manifests as photons. Similarly, with electrons, the theory is they have all pervading electron field, and in a local level, when the field vibrates, it is manifested as electron, as a particle, you know. So for all the particles which are fundamental particles, like quarks or gluons or all these particles, they have found there is an associated all pervading field, whether
it be
bosons or everything.
Now
When we're talking about evidence, when they found Higgs boson in CERN particle accelerator, that wasn't just the evidence for Higgs boson, the particle. That was the evidence for the Higgs field itself, which exists, all pervading, right? So this is how they prove the existence of the field, right?
Okay.
By observing the particle, because it's according to quantum field theory. Now, we were thinking about, we need evidence for consciousness, all pervading consciousness, which is panpsychism theory.
No, we don't need. So the kind of consciousness that is described by something like panpsychism, we will probably need evidence for it. But we already know that consciousness exists. And to the best of my knowledge, right now, consciousness seems to be something that does not exist outside of conscious brains.
Now, okay. So this is where I have a problem with interpretation.
Yeah, so I understand. That's why I brought the problem into focus so that we can actually talk about it.
So when, say you are a scientist, right now, and you observe a
I'm not a scientist.
Say you are a physicist in a lab and you observe a special particle which was not observed before. So with the help of quantum field logic, you say, your particle is Vimotron, let's say, right? Then since you observed that particle, you say it's not only the particle that exists, we have found a new field which is all pervading, right?
Okay.
That would be the logic.
So in terms of consciousness, what is the particle analog?
Yeah, so in terms of consciousness, you just need a conscious entity to extrapolate into saying.
But
that,
aren't you kind of force fitting the logic of a particle and a field onto consciousness? Because yeah, but we don't. What is the commonality between a particle being found and consciousness itself? Because if panpsychism is true, you are kind of presupposing that consciousness as the field exists. What is
I'm not presupposing. I'm actually extrapolating from the evidence of particle. They extrapolate that there is a field.
So what right? is the analog of the particle here?
A conscious being like us.
A being is not a particle.
But we are conscious, right?
We are conscious and yeah. What I'm missing here is the bridge that you're building from. I can understand where you came from when you said particle corresponding field.
Yeah.
But I don't see a commonality between a particle and a conscious being.
Why
How
not?
Is that being established? It seems to be an analogy at best.
Right? Okay. Yeah,
What is the reason for thinking that a conscious being should be treated the way a particle is treated?
Because that's how we treat everything else in physics in reality.
Seems everything. Like a bit of a stretch. Seems like a bit of a stretch, honestly.
Yeah, tell me what exists. Okay, at the fundamental level, what exists? All the fundamental particles are extrapolated into quantum fields. Everything that exists is a field. And now field does not exist. Okay,
Tell me this. Is there a sadness field?
No, but it's part
Why not? Why not? If I say that sadness is a particle, can I not extrapolate that a sadness field exists?
No.
It's just making a bold claim, no? There is no actual evidence to say that when we say a conscious being exists, we can treat that statement the same way as we treat the statement that a quark exists or whatever else exists. So what is the reason you are saying that a conscious being should be treated like a particle in this hypothesis of yours?
Because that's how we treat everything else.
We don't assume that there is a sadness field just because sadness exists.
But because it's super vague. Sadness, the idea is it's the linguistic thing you are doing, right? But consciousness exists because we are conscious, right? It's not something vague because it exists, right?
Does capitalism exist?
That is that this is linguistic.
Saurabh, listen, you are right to say that I am engaging in linguistic tricks. I'm trying to establish that what you are doing is no different. It's just an analogy.
I can approach this in another way. So
go on.
When regarding the source of some something, okay, so I'll just jump to the complex example because we may not have a lot of time. So there's some particle called neutrinos, and that is they are emitted by the sun or any stars.
Saurabh, jump to the end of it because it seems like it's the same analogy all over again.
No, it's not. So
it's not.
So if we wanted to detect neutrinos, we have to build special complex detectors, and we have to keep them in ice in South Pole so that we remove all the other interference, and we have to make sure that the source of neutrinos is actually coming from outside, not from the vicinity, or from the detector itself, right?
Could you repeat that last part?
We have to make sure that the source of the neutrino is actually coming from outside the Earth and not from the vicinity or itself, from the detector itself, right? So we have to first make sure that what we are detecting is not in the detector itself, right? The emergent. So now consciousness we can have two sources. One is emergent, which is from the bodies, and one could be from outside. So point is, when scientists try to detect something, some phenomenon like neutrinos, they first eliminate the possibility that it's really not coming from inside or the vicinity. Then they jump to the conclusion that, oh, it's probably outside. The same thing happened with X-rays as well, with William Röntgen. We had to do it in a dark room, this experiment of X-rays.
So I've heard of it, yes.
Cut out all the possible sources from outside. So having eliminated that, we can jump to the conclusion that, oh, it's really, the phenomenon is really coming from inside.
So is there any way to eliminate our own consciousness in our assessment of consciousness as a field, so-called?
I don't know. But have we eliminated that?
No. I'm saying, listen. All of these things that you described, they can be verified objectively, right? The fields, etc.
Fields can only be verified.
As in, you can observe them. You can observe them. You can share your observations with me, and I can do the same experiments. I can verify them.
Yes, as a manifestation.
Is there any way to do that to this consciousness field you're talking about?
But that's the thing, right? So we are conscious beings, and we are experiencing that. So we can extrapolate it like we do to particles. Like, oh,
but that's not very strong. All I'm trying to point out is that it may very well be the case that panpsychism is true, right?
Yeah, so it is a scientific argument to make, right?
Let me put it this way. It is an argument that has been made by some people, and some of those people are scientists. There is a channel called Joe Scott. Have you heard of him?
Yeah,
he's a YouTuber. He recently made a video about panpsychism, and even his conclusion was that this is bordering on woo-woo territory, right? It's been called woo-woo for quite some time. Deepak Chopra is a proponent of it. There are plenty of Hindu seeming people, spiritual-minded people who kind of sort of subscribe to it. Sure. All I'm saying is that it is standing on incredibly weak feet right now.
I don't
even know what strong feet are going to look like.
Because
yeah. Even you, who is a subscriber of this, I presume, right?
No, I'm not. I'm just open.
Open to it.
Yeah.
Even I'm open to it, but I'm open to evidence, not just possibilities. A lot of things may be possible, but unless there is evidence of the variety that you will want for something like a quark or a field that you went into in some great detail, I don't think I can take this seriously.
But I just describe to you what evidence is. So if you want an evidence of a Higgs field, you detect a particle and you extrapolate it, saying that, oh, I saw a Higgs boson, so Higgs field exists, which is all pervading. That's the conclusion of the
No, it's not. It is more like, listen, it is more like, I saw a Higgs. These are my observations. This is the data. Please feel free to check it. You do the same experiment and someone else does it and they come to the same conclusion. So we come to the conclusion that this particle and this field is verifiable. I don't see how you can do that with consciousness.
The reason is because you think it has to be material evidence, right? It has to be material.
Saurav, all the examples you have given to me as analogies are material examples.
But fields are not material.
They can be verified, no? They can be detected.
The vibrations can be detected,
which makes them material.
But the fields are all pervading.
Can you give me an example of a vibration created by consciousness?
We can say that ourselves are vibrations created.
That would be an analogy. That would not be like you can. You're basically looking at our actions and you're interpreting them in a fairly poetic manner to be vibrations that can be analogous to the vibrations created by these fields that you just described. But that's just comparing two things on a linguistic level. It is not the same thing, is it? And there is no way to know how they can be the same thing.
Okay, so can I ask you the last question?
Make this your last point. I have to move on to someone else.
I will. So can you give me your standard of acceptance for consciousness, of evidence.
That's the thing. I know that consciousness is a word we use to describe a certain condition through which you and I are both going through. You're conscious, I'm conscious. I know that it exists on that level. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, whatever else you're describing consciousness to be this all-pervading thing, panpsychism, I don't even understand how there can be evidence of it. I don't understand what your reason behind believing in it or being open to it is.
So I think what you and I should do is we have to set a standard for what evidence of consciousness constitute of, because we will demand evidence.
Do you have a standard? Do you have
a standard? Then if I
don't, I don't. I'm telling you, I don't have a standard, then, and I don't even know what the standard can be. You're obviously a scientific-minded person.
So you
the best thing you can do. The best thing you can do right now is come up with a standard, because right now it's all analogies all the way.
Yes, that's a standard I can have, scientific standard, which is based on scientific process, right?
And you so have not you have not given me any scientific basis for thinking that consciousness is. All you have given me is analogies. This so particle has that field. If we assume consciousness is a particle, then there must be a consciousness field. That's a whole lot of assumptions.
I mean, we do this. This is a scientific argument, I think, to extend.
I don't think it is scientific, and because I can use the same thing to hypothesize that there is a sadness field.
Yeah. Hello.
I can use your argument. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Yeah, I can.
The method that you used can be used by anyone to claim that any kind of field exists. Anything. Okay. If I assume that sadness is a particle, there is a sadness field. But if sadness, I assume that
sadness is a part of consciousness, right? Conscious experience. So that's
true. But just replace it with something else. It really like doesn't take much imagination.
But like what?
Capitalism. If capitalism exists and there are capitalistic individuals going around, then is there a capitalism field in nature?
So capitalism exists as in what form? So it is also a part of consciousness, you can say.
Capitalism is a product of consciousness.
Yeah.
It's a product of consciousness.
Yeah.
But it is not consciousness, is it?
But it's a part of it, right?
So we can just replace it with anything, man. It's the same analogy. It keeps going on and on and on.
So that's the problem. So you can replace it with anything.
Let's go out of consciousness. This is a nail clipper.
Yeah.
Is there a nail clipper field out there somewhere?
It's made of material which we have already categorized into fundamental particles. And they all exist as fields.
What if I said that this nail clipper is a particle? And therefore, there must exist in nature a nail clipper field, which cannot be detected right now, but it exists because you've heard of the work of people like Rupert Sheldrake, right?
No, I haven't.
So Rupert Sheldrake is also someone who frequently gets described as a woo scientist. I think you like him. Read up his work. It's called Morphic Resonance, I think. He says that for every form that exists in nature, there is a field or, you know, some kind of... He says that every form is like pouring water into a jar. You pour water into a jar, the water takes the form of a jar, right? He says there are invisible frames out there in nature for every form.
That's Plato, basically.
But he kind of brings more to it, which I have frankly forgotten because I read his book a number of years ago when I myself was into this shit. But feel free to go on and try to create a standard of evidence that we can all use to probably try to make more sense of consciousness. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Saurabh. Thank you for joining. And it was a very interesting conversation. Bye-bye. Yeah.
See you. Bye.
That was Saurabh. Let me see who else. Anyone else who wants to talk, go into the private chat and tell me what you want to talk about. Raj wants to talk about veganism. Raj, I'm really not in the mood for it. Please come back next week. You can talk about something else if you want. Let's take Deeps. Deeps also has a religion related question. Hi Deeps, you're on.
Hi, Vimo.
Hello. Hold on, Deeps. Hold on. Let me just thank Raghunath Ramdasan for the $4.99 super chat. Raghunath says, Sam Harris has outlived his usefulness, if at all there was any. He's peddling woo and needs to mystify consciousness as part of his business. Yeah, I'm not even a huge fan of Sam Harris. So I wouldn't say he's mystifying consciousness now. I think he has always kind of done it. But the appeal surrounding consciousness as a mode of discussion about God and religion and about everything mysterious has kind of risen through these last few years. Raghunath, thank you for another $4.99. Finding consciousness in quantum physics is the non-embarrassing version of nuclear war in Mahabharat. I agree. Right. Go on, Deeps.
Vimo. So basically, like, I wanted to talk about this, Saurav was telling. I just wanted to make it more clear.
Okay.
So basically, like, I got into this problem, like, I got into this problem of this consciousness, like, how can something physical produce a first person subjective experience? Like, that was the, like, it's called heart problem of consciousness. That's where I got into this whole spiritual things, like, that was.
So what start by telling me what your position on all this is. Are you a theist? Are you a subscriber of panpsychism? What is it?
No, I don't. So I don't know. Like, panpsychism is a theory, is a hypothesis, and we have not found any evidence for it. So I'm not sure about it.
So what is your position? Are you a theist or atheist?
I support the Eastern traditions, like all the indigenous traditions all over the world.
Even the ones that are contradictory?
Not the contradictory.
That seems more like I'm just pointing out because that seems more like a cultural position than a theistic or atheistic position.
It's like, yeah, all those Eastern traditions, like, which I'm aware of, like, most of them are, like, just for, like, giving you some maturity and a growth to you. So,
okay, cool. Go on.
So basically, like, if I see a pen like this, I get to see the right light reflects on it, goes into my eyes, and there's some electrical impulse there, which get translated into a sight. So, like, how does it happen? How does something neurological become a first-person experience? Like, where does the translation happen?
Okay.
So consciousness is, like, from birth to death, all the experience happens. I am the experience. There's no experiencer there. So, like, as far as God is concerned, I feel like God is a crystallization of philosophy, like how Jordan Peterson puts it, like a hierarchy of values or something. Not exactly like that. What I say is that God is like a crystallization, like, of your maturity level. Does that make sense?
What do you mean by that? Crystallization of your maturity level? Do you mean a hypothetical construct in my imagination of a kind of higher self?
Yeah, that can be.
But that's just imagination, isn't it?
It's imagination, and I think religion becomes problematic when it becomes a literal, when people take literally to be true.
So here's the thing: religion is a product of imagination, and I agree that, like, it is religion as we know it today. Cool. I hope you will not disagree with that. Religion as we know it today, organized religion, is a product of human imagination. It was created partly by just imagining things and partly by treating those imaginary things as anchors around which we can build our social lives.
Yeah. And
so what you're describing as a crystallization is an extremely personal thing. Like, you know, a person can have a religious outlook on reality that is purely their own. Like, I have this idea of this higher self of myself, who's like the best possible version of me, who's kinder, who's smarter, who can remember more and everything. And I will constantly try to become that guy without telling anyone else. And I don't know if you will describe that as religious.
It's not like an ideal which I'm supposed to reach or become. It's just like, my own personality is coming as the God. Just that, like, the deity which I worship is nothing but myself. It's just my own expression.
Again, just imagination, no?
It's imagination, because, like, it may not be objectively true. Others may not accept it. Like, others may not understand it.
So the kind of, when you say others may not accept it, if you say that there is an imaginary construct in my head, why would someone disagree with it? People have imaginary constructs in their heads all the time. What you're saying, when people may not accept it, are you saying that they may not accept that it is real?
Yeah, it may not be. It's like a subjective truth, and it's a subjective...
What I'm trying to point out is that if you tell someone that I believe in, there is this imaginary construct in my head, there is no reason for someone to say, I don't believe you. Right?
Okay.
Because you're just describing something you imagined. Why would someone not believe that? What reason could you possibly have about imagining something?
It's because, Vimo, the first person is like something kind of shared between you and me. Like, I also have the same fears as you have. I also go through the same, I also have the same problems.
So what are they not accepting? What are other people not accepting?
The problem is, like, I want to bring legitimacy to the Eastern traditions. Like, they're something more than imagination.
Right. So up until now, we were on the personal level where you were imagining this thing in your own head. And now it has become about Eastern traditions, which is cultural. And
yes,
even then, I don't understand what you mean by other people may not accept it. Surely they understand. If there is a tradition of having that imaginary construct, someone else, you go and tell, hey, I have this imaginary construct. It comes from my tradition. Why would they not believe you? You're only talking about your imagination.
It need not be the traditions may not be matching, but at least there's some similarity. Like, I'll give you an example.
No,
like,
I'm asking why, when you say others may not accept it, why are they not accepting it?
Because they may have unique expression.
No, you're not saying ki you have to believe this, right? You're saying, yeah, I have this thing in my head. Why would they not accept that?
No, it's like a blueprint. It's same blueprint, but it can have different varieties of manifestation for different people.
I still don't understand. You're telling people, I have this blueprint in my head. Why are people not accepting it?
It's like there are many versions of cars. There's a BMW, there's a different varieties of car, but the blueprint is same. So blueprint of all traditions is same, but there are many more, many varieties. So
I think either I am unable to ask my question properly, or you're kind of skipping not really getting it. But let's proceed. What is the next point?
So the thing is, like, in Eastern traditions, it is allowed that you can change your deities. Like, now you are feeling connected to Ganesha, for example. Mm-hmm. And as you become more mature, you feel connected to some other god, like to Rama or something. And that is, like, some of the religious people with whom I interacted with, they said it's perfectly fine. You can change your god also.
They give you a bunch of options, right? Can you change your deity? Can you change your favorite deity to Batman?
You can, like... In those times, in the Eastern traditions, it's fine. Like, you can make your own god, put a sunglass and say, this is my god.
If that is the case, totally. But unfortunately, there is, like, I am more engaged with the real world, right? So when you hear people following so-called Eastern traditions say that, you either say Jai Shri Ram or you don't deserve to live in this country. That's not very Eastern tradition, right?
No, that's wrong. That is wrong. That is like forcing your own thing on others.
So tell me this. As a person who wants to encourage Eastern traditions, will you change your deity to, you know, Prophet Muhammad or Jesus?
No, it's up to me. It's like, it's my freedom.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's up to you. But do you think most people who believe in Eastern traditions will agree with this?
I don't know about in India, this current situation, I'm not aware, but theoretically it should be the case. And one thing is, like, Christopher
Hitchens... Yeah, I think theoretically it should be the case everywhere.
Yeah, and Christopher Hitchens says that God is a dictator, but that's not the way we see in, like, Eastern tradition.
No,
like,
he was saying the God described in the Old Testament Bible is a dictator.
Yeah, that may be true. I don't know, but as I'm aware with Eastern traditions, like... Even to the same God, you can have different feelings at different times. You can feel, like, at the beginning, you can feel he's my friend. And after some time, you can feel he's my caretaker or something. And in the final stage, you can feel he's me itself. Like, I am the God whom I've been worshipping all along.
Yeah. When you start thinking that, please see a psychiatrist.
So, like... Yeah, it's like that's why in India all the time we have many incarnations of God. Like all the time in India, there are at least 4 or 5 incarnations, and we are okay with it. Like from time immemorial, it's
yeah. If people were genuinely okay with it, I really would not have any problem with it. But unfortunately, the ground level reality that I see is that when it comes to talking about our religion, we are like, yeah, totally open, liberal, anything is okay. And but then the social cultural reality on the ground is that no, it's not okay. There is one. God, only one name can be taken, and there is one special temple, and everyone is trying to make it about, you know, Ekishwarvad and everything.
Yeah, the problem is when people make an organization around it and make it like a big, literally true, then it becomes a problem. Otherwise, it's just a fun, it's way of improving yourself.
Well, like, for example, if you start thinking that you're God, you're not really improving yourself.
It's like, no, I'm just saying God is just like a benchmark. Like the deity is just your own representation. Like,
so Deeps, here's the thing. You appear to be a very liberal minded person.
Yeah.
But you're trying to redefine God to be a gentle thing. But throughout human history, the idea of God has meant very many things. And for the most part, it has been an exclusionary idea. You either believe in God or you don't. If you don't, you suffer. You either believe in God or you don't. If you don't, you're bad. You're morally bad. You either believe in this one iteration of God as we have defined it because we are the cultural majority, or you are not deserving of living. And despite what people say, it happens in the East, it happens in the West, it happens in the North, it happens in the South, it happens everywhere. So instead of trying to sanitize the idea of God and trying to sanitize the idea of philosophy, just be a good human being, man. I'm sure you are. And I'm saying that you don't need the word God or any tradition to be a decent human being. That's my entire point.
Yeah, that's true. And religion has become the home of all pseudoscience, and it's dangerous.
Yeah,
that I understand.
Yeah. Like if you brought milk home, right, and you left the milk to rot for like 15 days. You can't then say, yeah, but in ancient times, this milk used to be good. Right now, the milk is rotten. Anyone who drinks it will fall sick. Nobody should drink it. So it's okay to throw it out and just say, I can do without milk for now.
Yeah, that's fine. Right? But and there's no need of any authority. That's okay. If the authority is destroyed and there's freedom, that's fine.
But the authority isn't destroyed, right? You started by talking about a blueprint inside your own mind.
Yeah,
and
it's a blueprint.
So the moment you share it among people, it becomes a thing around which people rally, and then that blueprint becomes an authority.
That's true.
Yeah. But the best way is to not have the blueprint.
If there are mature human beings who can enjoy it, then it's a really good thing.
How many mature human beings do you know?
There are very few. But...
Yeah, that's true. I think religion actively prevents people from gaining emotional maturity. Religion actively prevents people from becoming, you know, like a person will be following a religion and they will meet someone from another religion or another culture and they'll be like, hey, this seems like a nice person, until they find out what their name is or what their blueprint is. And then they're like, all those preconceived notions are like, no, I don't want to be friends with this guy. So the maturity goes out the window. Sure, I'm not saying all religious people are like this. There are plenty of religious people who, despite having allegiance to their religious ideals, are still open to the possibility of meeting other people and being good to them. But
I have come across those people too.
Yeah. I'm sure you have. It's not even surprising. I meet those people every day. But I hope you understand the point. And thank you for joining. I want to move on to someone else. Cool.
That's nice talking with you.
Yeah, same here, man. Same here. Please do come back. Bye-bye. That was Deeps. We are already at the 1 hour mark. I'll probably go on for 15 more minutes. So let me see who else is here. There is someone called Vrishabh Shamku, but I don't see them. Oh, yeah. Shamkuar, what do you think about atheists celebrating religious festivals like Diwali, Ganesh Chaturthi, etc.? Great topic. Hi, Rishabh. You're on mute.
Hi, Vimo.
Hello. What's up?
Yes, fine. I'm doing fine. So actually, I have shifted from like Maharashtra to Rajasthan, and everyone, like, I interacted with the people, like, everyone is asking like about what is your caste. The first name is like, first question is like, what is your name? So where do you, and the second question is, what is your caste? I don't see such questions since when I was living in Maharashtra. Yeah. So my question is, I have two questions.
Maybe because in Maharashtra, when people heard your name, they did not need to ask. And maybe because Rajasthani people just want to double check. Should I engage in discrimination or should I not?
Yeah. I mean, like, it happens in this region, maybe this part of Rajasthan or Haryana. Mm-hmm. I'm close to Haryana. So maybe. I have two questions. One about the celebrating festivals, and other about the social exclusion or exclusion from society by not celebrating the festivals. So for the first question, means I am Buddhist or maybe atheist, I don't mean in the same thing. So we celebrate all the Hindu festivals like Diwali, Holi, and I don't care about those stories or myths behind them or anything, but I don't want to escape, or I don't want to close down the happiness means for not celebrating those festivals for just being atheist or Buddhist. Means, what do you think about this?
I think festivals start out inside religions, but eventually they just end up being about the dominant culture of wherever you are. So if there is a festival in Rajasthan that was not celebrated in Maharashtra, you will end up seeing people going around their life being happy about it. Koi tumhare ghar aayega, khana dega, koi tumko apne ghar bulayega, daawat pe. And then it just becomes difficult to say no all the time. So my advice to atheists struggling with the festival thing is just, you know, khana enjoy karo, baaki sab ke bare mein chinta mat karo. Like, there are Hindus in America. There are Hindus in America who get really happy around Christmas time. It's not part of their religion, but Christmas is everywhere. So they can't escape it. Yes. So you might as well enjoy food and, you know, do what everyone else is doing.
Yes, I think that's correct. Means because we don't believe in those things, but we can't escape, just escape means festivals.
But it's not even about believing, right? I don't think anyone, like even the people whose religion's festival it is, even they may not believe it. But festivals are usually excuses to get around, buy new stuff, spend time with family, eat good food. So just keep it to that and you should be fine. It's not a big deal.
Really. Because in my college, means I studied in IIT. So there was a thing like among the Maharashtra people, like used to celebrate the Ganpati or Ganesh Chaturthi. So I don't used to celebrate it in my home, means where I was. But when I went to college, so there it was a thing about socializing among the Marathi peoples to celebrate Ganpati. And one of my friend was there who did not used to believe like me. But he said, like, when they are collecting, means like Chanda or anything like that, like I won't believe in this thing. So I was like, I also didn't believe it. But I said, okay, let's give it. So means like he ended up getting excluded from the society or community which forms around the festival or with the popular culture of that land. So means he got like completely excluded from the group, and I just kept or my beliefs, and I, okay, it's just less.
But if someone comes and asks for chanda for a festival,
completely excluded.
So that's the price, right? You realize that if I don't pay these guys chanda, I'll get excluded. Am I okay with it? If I'm okay with it, I'll not pay chanda and I'll be excluded. Jis din log bahar ghoom ghaam kar rahe hoge, main ghar pe baith ke Star Trek dekhunga.
I kept away my principles or means like beliefs or like of not believing, but I compromise.
No, I think that compromise is your choice. I think sometimes getting excluded from present society might be difficult for some people. And if they say ki this chanda is the price I pay for it, despite not believing in their religion, people will pay it and they'll be chill. And if someone says ki no, my principles are more important to me, I will not pay chanda and I'll get excluded, then that is also their choice. I understand that, like, that a lot of religious bullying happens through like this, like अपने रिलीजन को मतलब डोमिनेटिंग रखने के लिए घूम घूम के लोगों से पैसे मांगेंगे, जो पैसे नहीं देगा उसको एक्सक्लूड कर देंगे, और वर्स समटाइम्स पीपल इवन गेट अटैक्ड फॉर दिस शिट. सो या इट्स बुली,
दे आर नॉट फोर्सफुली एक्सक्लूडेड मींस, बट इट्स जस्ट द वे हाउ इट इज,
इट्स डिस्क्रिमिनेशन. या या
या सो
क्या कर सकते हैं.
यस यस.
अगले हफ्ते बात करते हैं, आज टाइम नहीं है, एक घंटा तो हो चुका है, मैं और दो लोगों को लेना चाहता
हूं. थैंक यू.
कूल, थैंक यू. दैट वाज वृषभ. द नेक्स्ट कॉलर इज, होल्ड ऑन, बिफोर आई गो टू द नेक्स्ट कॉलर, लेट मी जस्ट थैंक रेसलिंग लिरिक्स फॉर द 200 rupees सुपर चैट. ही सेज हाई विमो, हाई रेसलिंग लिरिक्स, थैंक यू फॉर द 200 rupees. लेट्स सी हु इज हियर. Let's take Samir. Hi, Samir.
Hi.
Hi, so, what's up?
Good. How are you?
Catch up.
So I guess you remember me from Instagram or something. I have a couple of times I have messaged you regarding. I don't remember.
Just remind me. I get hundreds of messages.
Yes. I asked you to read Quran. Don't take
I remember you now.
I just wanted to see, last time I went through your videos, you was talking about some random mutation regarding evolution. About the evolution, it was like 7 months ago you did a video, a short video.
Well, so I was just looking into before trying to debunk evolution.
You guys don't know about random mutation you guys are talking about, evolution or something. So I was just checking, and I get in 2020-22 there is a study which actually says this mutation is not random, there's something about it. I just went to the study and I have pasted that link also. So my just question is, if this science keep changing, like every time the new thing comes up and it keeps changing, so like, is it okay to believe in so much of science instead of, like, as we believe in God, the science is also something conceptual, like you believe in that. It is something like you believe in science and we believe in God. Basically,
no, it's not. I'll tell you why. When you say science keep changing, what you are really saying is that science gets better.
No, it actually.
Suppose we did not know something yesterday, and we thought that this is because of reason X, but then we realized that it's not because of reason X, because we discovered more, we observed more, and now we say, it's not about X, it's about Y. We changed our opinion based on data.
Yes, that is what I'm saying. Just imagine this thing, 100 years from now, the data changes, and this thing, the thing which we are like fighting now, this is the evidence, and it keeps changing, and it changed 100 years later, but we will not be there to look at that data. But today we are keeping a strong position on that because that data is true today.
So right? there are some scientific theories which are like really on the edge, like multiverse, etc., and there are some scientific theories which are like very, very hard evidence behind it, like evolution.
It is possible
that certain aspects of our understanding of evolution may change, but it is almost a foregone conclusion that evolution definitely happened. Is happening everywhere.
No, the species change I'm talking about, not the evolution in like these things and all. I know it's so big.
Species change because of evolution, right?
Yeah, but it's a theory again. It's a concept.
No, it's not a theory. It is. There is evidence behind this. There is fossil evidence. There is DNA evidence. There is genetic evidence. But, there is a whole, after Darwin came up with it in the last 200 years or more than 100 years, there has been a significant amount of evidence behind it.
So, which that is what I, that is what, I'm not talking about that evolution. I'm talking about, like you said, about the random mutation or something. The science,
that was evolution.
He's trying to figure out that there's, it's not a random, there is some science behind it, but we are not understanding it right
now. I don't know what study you're talking about. To the best of my knowledge,
you can just Google it about the random mutation.
Let me tell you what we mean by random mutation. We mean that the process of copying of genetic material when the reproduction happens is not perfect, and that changes happen to the genetic structure whenever that happens. That is the reason, even though you look like your dad and mom, you don't look exactly like them. Some amount of mutation happens. This mutation over a long period of time will either give you beneficial, beneficial adaptations or terrible adaptations, because of which your chance of surviving and reproducing gets affected. If you have an adaptation that, if you have an adaptation that helps you reproduce more, then that mutation in you gets passed on to more of your offspring and thereby gets distributed in the populations of tomorrow. If a genetic mutation that you have prevents you from mating with people, then that genetic mutation dies with you or with the few people who you procreate. That's what that means.
But it is the science is trying to understand it, and they are like figuring out it is not random. It has some kind of a, you know, structure to it, which we are not trying to understand it right now because science is not developed for that.
I do not know of any such survey. If you send me the link, I'll try to go through it. To the best of my knowledge,
that is
the
what, reason and the mutation happens.
The reason mutation happens, for the most part, why genetic mutations happen, is the only reason we know of is cosmic rays. Cosmic rays are bombarding Earth all the time. They make tiny changes. They break DNA chains in minor ways, which cause genetic mutations. There might be other reasons also, but I do not know of any survey or any study that says there is some kind of order behind it.
Yeah, but it is a new study, but you can just check. So yeah, I came across another study by seeing a scientist or doctor or somebody like who saw people dying, like 5,000 patients. Who saw them, like he was a doctor of them, they were about to die and they came back from the death. Like there's locations, but people who came back
I doubt it's a scientific study done by any reputed science journal. There is a lot of stuff floating around that is claiming to be scientific. I would recommend that you read scientific journals, peer-reviewed science journals, and not predatory journals, and definitely not journals which are not science journals but are pretending to be science journals. There's a whole lot of stuff out there. There are Hindus pretending that reincarnation is real and isn't proven by science. There are Muslims pretending that there is evidence of modern scientific findings in the Quran, etc. Be careful about this stuff.
Okay. I'm just saying the science, like they are coming up with the answer today or tomorrow, maybe 100 days, 100 years from now. I'm just saying you are keeping so much faith on them. I'm just telling people.
I'm simply keeping the thing on a science basis. I'm simply establishing that science is a method using which we observe things, we experiment, and we come to conclusions.
No, that is the only method we have right. That is what
exactly. It is the only method we have right now.
Yeah.
There is no other method. Yeah, we don't have any other method. If you have another method using which we can get to the truth and make predictions about reality, please go ahead and tell me. We don't have any other method.
No. What I believe, like I said, we have a lot of things in Quran which is used as a like foundation for us. So we go through that and we believe in that. So after believing that, and we take a step of other things like afterlife and soul and everything, we come to a conclusion on them which are not like scientifically proven right now.
But there is no evidence behind it, right? It's just belief.
No. But we don't need an evidence when we are in a faith of Quran. Then we have a lot of information which is true.
Assuming there are 10 things that are correct in the Quran, does that mean that the 11th thing is automatically correct?
No, but there's no other way also, right? There's no other...
Science has not found it. Just another book written by human beings, which contains some right things and some wrong things. You don't have to assume that just because you found something true in a book, that everything in that book must be true.
No, but we believe everything in that book is true. That's the Why? Difference.
Why?
Because this, as yeah, this, see, this there is the reason I have sent you a link from a person who is a person who knows about Quran or something. So that is the reason I wanted you to like talk to a person. You said you talk to me. I know. I understand.
My point is, I've been doing this for a few years, and I have a frame of reference about where people come from when they talk about the Quran. I have never seen anyone blow that apart. I have never seen someone bring actual evidence to the table when they're talking about the Quran or the Gita.
No, like the other guy is saying, the evidence is like what evidence you want. See, in our faith, what we are having, like Allah is not going to come in front of us. Allah is not coming in front of us telling me, I am Allah, worship me. Then that is the purpose, because we believe it's a test. And test cannot be like, they cannot give you an answer sheet first and write down these answers. It has something has to be like which you cannot you have to believe in something, because the test cannot be like proven. Like,
were you born in a Muslim family?
Yes.
So that is why you believe. There's no other reason. If I brought a Hindu holy book to you and I gave the exact same argument to you, right? The exact same argument that you're giving me, will you start believing in the Hindu book?
No, but it has to be true also, logically. That is what I'm saying.
How do you know it is not true? Everything you're saying about the Quran. You can find contradictions in Quran also. That does not dissuade you. So that is a belief, right? There are ex-Muslims whose channels you can go to, and they'll show you plenty of contradictions. There are contradictions in Hindu holy books, in Muslim holy books, in Christian holy books, in every holy book out there. The only reason you think that your religion is superior is because you were born in it. That's all. That's literally.
It's not about. A few years ago, the same thing happened to me. I was like having these questions, why I'm here. Then I started to like investigate. In between, there's a time where I was like, okay, maybe this is not true, you know, because you know you are logical and you think, why is this like this and why is like that. But when you get certain answers, like which are not in science, obviously, then you have to find some answer. Because
give me an example. Tell me what it was. Tell me exactly what happened.
No, I felt like when are you in this world, and you are. I'm a 30 year old guy, so maybe more 40 years I'll be surviving. No matter what I achieve in this world, it doesn't make sense me dying. You know, that has to be some purpose for me to be existing in this world. I cannot be just somebody, because everything in this universe is having some purpose, like everything in this world. Because
can you tell me what purpose means?
Even the gravity. If the gravity is very high, everything will collapse. Everything has a certain thing.
We're kind of digressing into a different argument. When you said that you feel like you must have a purpose, what do you mean by that?
Yeah. What do you mean? you cannot live your life by doing whatever you feel like you're doing, because you.
Why not?
There are people who have done that. At the end, they have to die. That is what I'm saying. Yeah. You cannot be a meaningless creature when you have some thought process.
It's not meaningless. I'm saying, when you say you need a purpose, what is the difference between the purpose that you decide you want to have in life and the purpose given to you by your God?
That is what I believe. Whatever I decide a purpose for myself, it is meaningless, other than the God which has decided for me. Because in this world, no matter how many money or whatever you do in this world, at the end of the time, you become old. You become like, you cannot do anything in your life when you become old. So because
people who believe in God also die. At the end of the day, no matter how religious you are, you will die.
Yeah, I agree with that. But you have a purpose after life. We have to believe. Because
how do you know there is something after life?
No, that is what we believe, right? I'm saying
Listen. You keep saying there has to be a logic to it. I'm asking, what logic did you follow to come to the conclusion that there must be something after death?
No, because that is in Quran. That is what I'm saying. Everything
that is not logic. That is not logic.
What to do? What?
That is not logic. That is just prescriptive. That is a book.
It is logical.
Samir, I think either there is a lag or I'm failing to get through to you. I'm saying that I can find a Bible, a Hindu holy book, and a whole lot of other religious books. They all have things written in them. Right?
Yeah.
That's not logic. Just because a book says this is true does not mean it is true. How do you come to the conclusion that what is written in this book must be true? How? Exactly what method do you use?
No, that is what I'm saying. When you see certain things which are written in Quran, which doesn't go against science.
The Quran actually has
like whatever
this idea
there
of
are, there's a lot of
dome around earth with water being above it, right?
No, it's not like that. There are many things, how to live your life, how to eat, how to sleep. I'm saying everything is shown to us in Quran, and also there is called Hadith.
No, it is prescribed.
Which is from Prophet. I'm just saying.
You're describing a religious prescription.
But what I'm saying
is logic. It is not. I can show you other books which say that you should live differently. How is that different?
No, but other books have a different concept than Quran. That is what I'm saying.
Huh, so why would you not believe those?
They're not exactly the same. We believe in one God.
Yeah, obviously they're not same, but why would you not believe them?
Yeah. Because there's a lot of things which are not logical, I'm saying.
I think the problem that we are really running into here is that there seems to be a misunderstanding on your part about what logic means. It is not when you're randomly using the word logic. Anything I don't like is illogical. Anything I like is logical.
It's not like that. What I'm saying is, in this your life, when certain things are written in Quran, which matches with the scientific research or whatever, without scientific also, but you live your life in certain way, which answers certain
questions.
There are
people who make those claims about their own religions also. There are Hindus who say that there are scientific truth in
their own religions don't have these answers, and they have some other answers which doesn't tally with science.
No,
that is what I'm saying.
Like, I'm saying what you're doing is you're interpreting.
The other religion has answers,
Samir, what you are doing...
There's a lag, so I'm repeating.
What you are doing is that you're taking things written in the Quran and you're correlating them with things that science has come to already conclude. First of all, the first problem with it is that...
Let me finish.
The first problem with it is that it is a poetic interpretation, and people from every religion do it. Hindus do it, Christians do it, everyone does it. The second problem with it is that you started this conversation by saying, why should we believe science? And you are still using science as a benchmark because of which you take Quran seriously. Right? You see the problem here?
No. I am not taking because of that. I am giving you scientific example because you believe in it. I don't believe it because it's science has a meaning to it. I believe in it because I believe in Allah.
Samir, you told me that the Quran says something and you believe it. I asked you, why do you believe it? And you said, because it corresponds with science.
I believe because Quran has a lot of answer to our normal life, which I'm saying. Alcohol is not good for you.
We're going in circles. We're going in circles. Yeah. This is not really going.
So what are you trying to ask me?
I'm not trying to ask you anything. I'm saying ki, the situation that you find yourself in, many people around the world find themselves in with respect to their own religion. It is not unique. It is not special. People from every religion think that their religious book has the entire truth and nothing else can compare to it. And the truth, unfortunately or fortunately, is that all these religious books were written by human beings a long time ago, and they are just imagination.
Thank you, Samir, for calling. No problem. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you.
That was Samir. Let me just thank Deepan Kulandai Sami for the 40 rupee super chat. We'll present my point more clearly next time. Oh, this is Deep's. Okay. Ashish, thank you for the 100 rupee super chat. Ashish says, welcome back, Vimo. Your cast conversations playlist is extensive. Loved it. Think about creating a flow chart. Many would end in rich, still cast argument. Rich, still cast. Oh, yeah. That's true. Every Savarna argument against reservation ends up with, yeah, but they already have money. Why do they need a reservation? Thank you, Ashish, for the 100 rupees. And Raghunath Ramdasan, thank you for the $1.99 super chat. Science is the only way to know reality that we have right now. If someone comes up with a better method, I'll be happy to look at it. But right now, there is only two strains of thought. There is the method using which you observe, experiment, and come to conclusions. And then there's a method which you frankly can't experiment with because it's mostly just word games, linguistic games. Right. There are so many comments that I have not gotten to, and I don't think I can because we are already at the 1 hour, 24 minute mark. So somebody said, Vimo Leela Prabhu. Arey yaar, kisse ke saath compare kar diya. Waise, I am also doing sit down comedy, I suppose. Right. So let me just remind everyone that if you want to support this channel, guys, everyone, that's the last call. Everyone can remove them from the queue. There is no more time left. Anyone who wants to talk can come back next week and we'll talk. People who want to support this channel, you can do so by clicking the join button below and becoming a member or sending a super chat like so many people have done, but all you can't do that anymore because live stream is ending. And if you want to support me on Patreon, you can do that at patreon.com/Vimo. And you can also send me money by UPI at Vimo@UPI, V-I-M-O-H at UPI. And there is also my website at www.vimo.in, where you can go click the support button and make a contribution of any amount of your choice. So thank you in advance to everyone who decides to support. Let me just read a few comments before I go. Let me remove people from the queue because I'm not taking any more callers. It's already 1 hour, 25 minutes, guys. Sorry about this. Hold on. Yeah, that's it. Abhishek Dash says, universe is formed like that. Nobody created it. It's just there. You can't find explanation ever why universe exists. Sometimes things just happen. Yeah, the problem is we don't even know that. So it is best to say we don't know. To the best of our knowledge, there is no way of knowing, but the universe does exist. That much is clear. So that's where we need to, that's all we need to say. Sarath points out, descriptions of nature in most religious books are wrong. Flat earth, geocentric, distance to moon, etc. Yeah, I think this person has, they're very generously interpreting their book to be scientific. My recommendation is go to any ex-Muslim channel and talk with them. They will be happy to point out, you know, contradictions and scientific untruths in your religious book. If you're Hindu, go to Science Journey. If you're Muslim, go to Haris Sultan. Haris is no longer doing live streams. Go to Ghalib Kamal and he might clear your doubts. He's also a scientist. So extra points. Rajiv says, it is not the meaninglessness that hurts the struggle. It is the struggle to find meaning, but not getting it that hurts. Yeah. People try to find meaning. They can't find it. And then they start blaming themselves or blaming people who their religion say that they should blame. That is the source of sorrow, I think. Sunil says, no matter how logical your argument is, if it is disagreement with experiment, then it's wrong. What? I don't know what that means. Or disagreement with the methodology of science? Okay. Let's take a couple of... Exactly says, so I believe Quran says something about our life, which is backed by science. But then he says, I'm only following science because you believe in science. Yeah. He was a little bit all over the place. He started by saying, ki, this is what the Quran says. I say, why you believe it? He says, I believe it because the Quran also has scientific information in it. And later on, he said that I don't need scientific information to believe in Quran. I'm only citing it because you believe in science, which is problematic on so many levels, because A, it is inconsistent with what he said previously, and B, he also believes in science. The methods that he's using to establish his credibility of his religious books, like, you know, this book contains some truth, so it is credible. And my argument was that, sure, you can say that about some books. If you find a book which tells you the answer to 10 questions and all of those answers are correct, you might believe the book when it gives you the 11th answer. But that does not mean that it is correct about the 11th answer necessarily. Macaroon Granola says, the only thing after death is carbon recycling and only continuation of life is reproduction. The two processes cannot swap with each other. Right. Jaswinder Narula says, if he was born in Hindu or Christian family, then who would be saying some Gita or Bible? He would be saying Gita or Bible. People just follow the religion of their birth blindly because they're conditioned by their parents. Yeah. Most people, except people who convert out of the religion, because that's a different argument. Most people simply believe in their religion being true because that's what they've been taught since childhood. That's all. The rest is just justifications. It is not even explanations. Amp says, long time ago, I argued with my theist friend and ended up abusing each other, but no problem. It's okay in our friendship. Yeah. I don't think these discussions should be so harsh that they destroy relationships. Unfortunately, most of the time, the destruction of the relationship starts on the religious side. The atheist is only likely to say, I will never talk to you if your religious belief goes against some basic human value. Like, you know, we should kill those people. What? You don't agree with me? That sort of thing. Macaroon says, well, the statement that science is the only way to know reality isn't quite true, because science orthodoxy isn't perfect and there are many mysteries and conundrums that still exist and remain unexplained. I would take a little bit of a issue with the idea of there being a science orthodoxy, because we don't trust science because some people say it is true. We trust science because they provide us with data which is replicable. If someone says, I have discovered this thing, you don't say, oh, he's a scientist, he must be right. You take them seriously when their work is published in a research, in a journal, and other scientists have verified what they have said. It is the verification that gives science its credibility. You cannot verify half the things in religious books unless you are being really, really poetic. So, yeah, with that, we reach today's end. The end of today's episode. As I promised, I'll put on the wig and show you guys what it looks like. It's a really... What? Weird. That's weird. Does this work? Yeah, it kind of works, but I think the front needs to be lower so that the seam does not show. Yeah, this is my wig. I look like Zakir Hussain. Are huzur, wah taj boliye. Malinga. So yeah, wow, it actually covers the whole thing. Maybe I should just keep shaving my head and get a bunch of wigs and just do stuff with them. But yeah, thank you people for joining today's live stream. It was a lot of fun. A lot of good conversations happened. And I will see you on Wednesday. My health is still not back to full, but I'll see you on Wednesday if I'm feeling well. I think I'll be okay by Wednesday. And until then, take care of yourselves and good night.